Hey, what's up? Hello, Emily Abadi here with episode 22 of Hurdle. It really is crazy the higher these numbers get, you know? We're approaching almost a full year of podcasting, and the adventures this thing have taken me on, it makes me hopeful for all the good stuff to come. Before we get into it with today's guest, Joey Gonzalez, the CEO of Barry's Bootcamp, shout out to the sponsor of this episode, Athletic Greens. Equal to 12 servings of fruits and vegetables, this ultimate daily all-in-one supplement just makes me perform better. I drink it every morning without fail on an empty stomach, usually right after my workout. I'll bring it along with me to the subway. It tastes great and it feels great to know that I'm providing my body with all the good, essential vitamins and minerals it really needs. They're offering a special deal to Hurdle listeners for 20 free travel packs. That's a $99 value with your first purchase. Just go to athleticgreens.com/hurdle to claim it. No code necessary. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/hurdle. It makes me laugh a little bit. When you go to the website, it's like Tim Ferriss and me. Okay, back to it. Last week, I was chatting with Flywheel's Ruth Zuckerman, and this week, we're continuing the theme of fitness industry powerhouses with Joey Gonzalez. I've got to admit, I've met Joey before, but I was definitely fangirling a little bit throughout this episode that we recorded in his office in West Hollywood. And I guess that's because more so since I'm living in a major city, Barry's is a major workout establishment. And this week, actually, the company is celebrating their 20-year anniversary. In today's episode, Gonzalez talks about how he was scared and kind of intimidated to go to his first Barry's class almost 19 years ago. He talks about how he transitioned from customer to instructor, from instructor to manager, from manager to upper level management. And well, you see where this is going. You know he sits in the CEO seat right now. We have a really great conversation. And this tidbit I actually really adored was this idea that you don't have to be the hero. There's a lot of things in life that make us scared or anxious or all of those feelings that go along with being a total newbie. And sometimes just doing your best, you know, that's good enough. A few housekeeping things. If you're in the New York City area, come to Hurdle Live tomorrow night, October 9th at 7 p.m. I'll be chatting with past guests, Michael Chernow, restaurateur extraordinaire, Dr. Jason Worsland, creator of Theragun, and Dan Churchill, the chef for Under Armour and the man behind Charlie Street, a new cafe in Nolita. How cool is it that I get to hang out with these great guys? For all the details, head on over to hurdle.us and snag your ticket. Chernow, Churchill, and I are all running this year's New York City Marathon. It's crazy that it's only a few weeks away. And Chernow is running it for New York City's largest food rescue organization, City Harvest. They help feed more than 1.2 million New Yorkers who are struggling to put meals on the table. And so all of the proceeds from this Hurdle Live installment will go directly to City Harvest. Again, grab a friend, grab a ticket. Let's have some fun. As always, connect with the podcast on social at Hurdle Podcast, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and let's keep those screen grabs coming, guys. There's nothing better than going about my day and getting tagged in someone's Instagram story, telling me that these amazing people who are sharing their stories with us on the regular are keeping them motivated and helping them get through some stuff. I think that's it. If you have any questions, you need anything, you know how to reach me, emily@hurdle.us. Let's get to hurdling. Today, I am sitting here with Joey Gonzalez. He is the CEO of Barry's Bootcamp. This feels like a mega opportunity today. Thanks for sitting down with me, Joey.
Of course. Thank you.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that Barry's Bootcamp is definitely my favorite workout.
Oh, really?
I know. I didn't tell you that before we got started.
You saved it. Saving the good stuff.
Saved the gem for the first minute of the podcast. You know what it is? And I'll let you explain to the audience like what happens inside of a Barry's Bootcamp class. But for me, I just feel like I get the best of everything that I like to do in this session. Like I love running. I love strength training. And I feel like the energy in that room, like it's just a trifecta of all the things I look for in a good workout. So why don't you explain a little bit about what happens inside of a Barry's Bootcamp studio?
Sure. So I'll start in the red room, which is what we call our studio. Mm-hmm. And that's the experience of Barry's that hasn't changed in the last 20 years. And what we do there is we split cardiovascular interval cardiovascular with true strength training, 30 minutes each. Barry's has always prioritized cardio and strength training to be equally as important. So I think that's why what you get is efficiency, results, a true fat burning, you know, lean muscle tissue building workout. It has been an instructor-led organization since the very beginning. It was founded by Barry himself, who came up with the concept, and is run today by me, a CEO who was previously an instructor. So our core competency is delivering a product that works. Our priority is always focusing on what's happening in that red room, making sure that we stay, you know, true to who we are, making sure that the workout is effective and the instructors are happy and people experience continuing education. So
what's the mentality behind the red room? Like, why is it red, Joey? Yeah.
So originally, when it was founded in 1998, the idea was, so this workout's really hard. I mean, let's just say it out loud. It's not easy.
Right.
If you want an easy workout, you're not going to go to Barry's. How do we make it fun and sexy and cool? And so the red lighting was supposed to mimic what you'd experience in a nightclub. So people felt like it was a party atmosphere. They'd show up, there'd be red lighting, the music was pumping, and it didn't hurt that one of the side effects was that it was extremely flattering to the human body. So oftentimes, shirts come off. I mean, it's like, you know, it's a whole thing.
Wait, so I have to ask this question. Now I'm like evaluating all of my personal experiences inside this
really
red room.
Do I really look like that?
I'm like, you know, I always thought there were super flattering mirrors in Barry's, but now I'm like, is there, it's not only like a flattering mirror, but then there's like good lighting. Man.
The mirrors are true.
Are
the
you
lighting
serious?
Is nice.
Are
no,
you
that,
serious?
They're not flattering mirrors. They're just regular mirrors.
I feel pretty good about myself today. Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm into that. So you go into a Barry's, you have this experience that combines treadmills and sprinting and then strength training. And then throughout the week, there are different days focused on different body parts. So how does that work?
Exactly. So we work opposite muscle groups. So on a Monday, you'll do arms, you'll do biceps and triceps, and we throw in a little bit of abs. On a Tuesday, you'll do butt and legs. On a Wednesday, you'll do chest and back. On a Thursday, you'll do abdominals. And on a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you do full body. So you're pretty much doing all of the above.
What I'd love to do is jump a little bit into your background. Before we do that, though, I think it's important to say that there are 43, we counted, different Barry's locations across the world. Barry's is now in the US, Canada, Norway, Sweden, the UK, Italy, UAE.
Yeah.
And soon to come some other places. So this didn't happen overnight.
No.
And you weren't sitting at this desk, you know, overnight either. So why don't you tell me a little bit about your background and how your time with Barry's really began?
So my CEO story is a Cinderella CEO story because I've done everything from clean the toilets to check people in to answer phones to I began first actually as a customer. And I came to Barry's at a crossroads in my life where I was sort of wrapping up my previous life as an actor slash in the performing arts, trying to figure out in which direction I was going to head. And, you know, landed myself at Barry's, became completely obsessed by it, was taking like two classes a day, and just fell in love with the concept, with the culture, with the community, and became close friends with Barry. And he asked me if I wanted to be an instructor. And so I hadn't really considered fitness as a vocation prior to that. But once he asked, it all just seemed to make sense because at Barry's and, you know, in boutique fitness in general, you are a bit of an entertainer and a bit of a trainer. So they're both pieces.
Definitely. And where were you living at this time?
Here in LA. Yeah. I had come out here to go to USC.
Okay.
And so I started first as an instructor. I then became a manager for the LA locations, and I expressed an interest to the partners of wanting to, you know, invest and become a partner myself. And so we worked together first for 4 years to do a very long sniff test and make sure that I was the right partner for them, which I totally respect. And then in 2008, I moved down to San Diego to open our first studio outside of LA, which was San Diego. Then soon after, in 2010, I moved to New York to open our first New York City studio. And so I just sort of became the guy that moved around and proved portability and the scalability of the concept.
Were you excited to be that guy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I love travel.
Yeah.
I still travel a lot to today, and it's just something I find invigorating, and I love seeing new things and meeting new people. So it was definitely a challenge, but very, very fun.
I'm interested to know, because you still teach today. Mm-hmm. I actually sat down the other day with Ruth Zuckerman from Flywheel, and she still teaches as well. A lot of people ask her, why are you teaching? Like, why do you still teach? Like, don't you have enough going on? Aren't you traveling? Aren't you doing this and that? So what is it that keeps you going back into the Red Room day in and day out and teaching and connecting with your clientele on that sort of level?
So I mentioned earlier that Barry's has always been an instructor-led organization. And it's just really important for me to stay connected to my roots. Like, I was an instructor, right? And so I think being an instructor gave me so many insights to what could make this business more powerful, more compelling, just an all-around better experience for people. And so that's something I would never give up. It's also just fun for me to get in that room and let it all go and put my mic on and play great music and put together what I hope is a fun class for people. There is a type of immediate gratification you get from that. The instructors are the stars, right? And it's like, you've changed my life. Your class, it's, you know, everyone loves it, you know, from experience.
You get a life change. You get a life change. Everyone gets a life change. Yeah, I can totally identify with that. You said you were at kind of a crossroads in your life before you started teaching at Barry's, and when you were, you know, going for the first time. What were you doing for fitness before you found Barry's?
Before Barry's, I was had a membership at LA Fitness or some gym, big box gym.
Yeah.
Would bring my, you know, men's fitness or men's health magazine there and open up, you know, the workout and do whatever program they had written, which was great fun. Like, I actually became fairly self-educated doing that. But I didn't have any experience prior to Barry's with group fitness, outside of the gym, of course, or one-on-one personal training.
Right.
And actually at the time, because it was so long ago, boutique didn't exist. You know, the industry of boutique fitness didn't exist. Barry's was really one of the first. So when I tried Barry's for the first time, I had to like actually learn about how it worked. I was like, wait, what's the membership? Wait, I just pay for one class? There was a process, an educational process that our front desk had to take on.
Yeah. And so when you got into working out, like on the scale that you would accomplish at Barry's, did working out kind of take on a new meaning to you? Like, did it feel totally different than before?
100%.
And in what way?
Many different ways. But I think the most impactful way was that I learned that I was capable of doing things I never thought I was. Because most people will say when they take a class at Barry's, they are pushed, not necessarily singled out, but they are pushed because they're incentivized and motivated by the people around them and the instructors to go beyond their normal thresholds.
Right.
And so I ran and I lifted in a way that I would never do on my own.
Mm-hmm. And so that really translated to other aspects of your life. I mean, I'm sure coming in there and like coming down from this road of acting to then be in this class experience and then think like, is this what I'm going to do now?
Mm-hmm.
That must have been a bit of a trip.
Well, it helped rebuild, I think, what had been demolished.
Yeah.
Which was like, oh, I've failed, right, at this career that I've spent a decade working on. And, you know, feeling when you're an actor or performer, you generally are pretty familiar with rejection. And so I started to, you just get down on yourself. And so all of a sudden I was in this environment where I was being built up by the people around me, by the instructors, and frankly, like by myself, the way I looked at myself in the mirror.
What do you, when you are looking to hire an instructor at Barry's, what is something that you look for when you're bringing someone onto your team?
So there are definitely a lot of boxes that our talent needs to check. But I would say the most meaningful one to me is buy-in to the brand and the workout.
Yeah.
Which is why whenever someone expresses an interest in teaching at Barry's who hasn't previously been an instructor, the first thing we do is give them the opportunity to take as many classes as they want, and we track it. And if it's something that sticks with him or her and we see them going a lot and they start to just love the experience, the likelihood of them being put in the training program is much higher. It's also really important for us to find people that are aligned in terms of our brand values, because we've had situations in the past where they aren't, And despite their level of success, it just doesn't end up working out.
Mm, that's so interesting. And I also find it interesting that you identify them from the get-go as talent. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, I think in the scheme of like fitness right now, someone actually asked me, I was on somebody else's podcast a few weeks back, and they asked me, the guys from the Recover Studio, they have a podcast in New York City, and they asked me what I thought one of the biggest flaws in fitness is right now. And I answered that it makes me really nervous that people that might not have the education that I hope that they should have to distribute and disseminate this type of information are just going out there, and now they have this huge platform and millions of people following them, and they're like, you should do this.
Right.
And so what do you do to kind of safeguard your consumer when it comes to the people that you're bringing in? Because I think that's really important, not just to have, you know, good people in there, like good-hearted people, but also people that can like talk with authority to the type of programming that you guys are putting out there.
I would say for them on the whole, Barry's instructors have certifications that reach beyond what you'd see in a typical boutique studio. Most of our instructors all have their PT and beyond. There are a select few that only have their group fitness certification. Mm-hmm. But one of the safety nets around that is our own, you know, proprietary training, which provides guardrails for our talent to make sure that they provide a safe environment for all of the individuals who are taking their class.
Right.
There is a certain amount of accountability you need to accept as a participant. And this is something you actually learn when you're getting certified, that like boutique fitness, group fitness is not the same level of safety as a one-on-one personal trainer, right?
Right.
So if safety is absolutely your top priority and your goal, might not be the right place for you. But if you're someone who has a ton of experience, which tends to be more our customer, you're going to be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I totally agree with that. I think what's always interesting about Barry's, I will say that I have friends that live in areas where there are no Barry's, but there is what they would compare to Barry's. Mm-hmm. Maybe they would bring up, they're like, well, I go to Orange Theory. Mm-hmm. And I always say to them, like, make sure if you have questions, you're asking someone, because you go into a studio environment like that and there's a TV on the wall and it's just a video of someone executing a movement. And like, if you're not the kind of person that's willing to ask for help in that environment, it's so scary of what you could do to your body if you're not taking the time to really perfect and learn the movement.
Yep.
And I think that's really intimidating for some people.
Definitely.
When you were named CEO in 2015, did you ever have a point where you felt a little bit of imposter syndrome?
There's a very uncomfortable transition from entrepreneur to CEO. I didn't necessarily feel like an imposter because I wasn't an instructor moving into a CEO position, right? I was a COO moving into a CEO seat. And my responsibilities, to be honest, didn't change that drastically.
Right.
So most of what I was handling, I continued to handle. Where I really struggled was building a robust infrastructure that we have today, minimizing touch points, which has been like absolutely how I talk to everyone all the time. That's how I've grown this business. So minimizing that was really a challenge.
Yeah.
And then with not necessarily enough time, having to make so many key hires, which like I definitely got it wrong a few times and then fixed it and got it right. And now we have just the most incredible executive team.
Right. And you're saying that building this team was a little bit of a challenge. When you reflect on the other challenges that you may have faced, whether it has been as CEO or even prior to that as an instructor, what do you reflect on to be some of the biggest hurdles that you've had to jump over, or maybe just one of the biggest hurdles that you've had to jump over so far in your time at Barry's?
I think my biggest, and when you look back at life, it's like ups and downs and ebbs and flows, right? And the one thing I noticed that's a common denominator is that the worst times in my life were times where I was run by fear. And it wasn't actually what was happening at the moment. It was projecting into the future what I thought that moment meant, which never ended up being the case. And so I always say, if I could advise myself back then, today, I would say, you know, transfer your fear into focus. And that's what I do today. When I start to feel those feelings of fear and intimidation, I am able to just like hit reset and think about, why am I scared right now? What do I think is going to happen? And then all of a sudden I say it out loud and I almost laugh because it's so ridiculous, right? Oh, this is happening and that's happening. So all barriers are going to close around the world. Like, come on, get it together. That's not happening, right? Yeah. So how do I focus and overcome this hurdle? And how do I make sure that like I'm doing everything possible to do what it is we do best?
Right. And so I feel like in that you're also always pushing your comfort zone, and that can be super intimidating and super challenging.
Yep.
As a leader in your company, what do you feel like is one of the most, you keep going back to this like singular piece of advice for your employees? I feel like for me, for instance, that is one of the biggest pieces of advice I give to my friends when they look to me for advice as someone who is a freelancer and a bit of an entrepreneur. It's like, how do you do it? And I say, I'm just willing to push my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And so getting comfortable with that level of discomfort goes hand in hand with what I feel like has been arguably the amount of success that I've seen so far with only, you know, years and years and experiences to come. So what do you kind of offer your team as a constant push point of advice?
Yeah, I think it's similar to what you're talking about. I just phrase it differently. And it's don't be afraid to continue to innovate. Because the reason why Barry's has been a success for two decades now is because we've never stopped changing. And we will never look at ourselves in the mirrors and say it's enough, right? We always know we can do better and we can do more. And as far as exercise and nutrition is concerned, it is literally collective knowledge is doubling every year, right? And how can we not pivot and how can we not make changes? And so whether it's marketing or development or HR or retail, all we try to do is reinvent who we are and make sure our offering is the best fitness offering out there.
Right. I think it's really interesting. Obviously, we're recording this in the tail end of July. Last month was obviously Pride Month. And I think, I mean, for the last few years, Pride has been like such a special time at Barry's, but I feel like this year specifically, it's just been on another level. I know that you were definitely like pretty vocal, I felt like this year on your social media about like just like standing up for equality. And I also know that you met your partner at Barry's.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah. So we were set up blindly because a friend wanted to set me up and said, I have the perfect guy for you. And he said the same thing to Jonathan. And we were both like, no thanks. Then Barry approached me and said, hey, you know, a friend that I've known for a long time just moved back to LA and I really think he's great for you. I want to set you up. I said no again. I was 27. Like, I did not need a blind date. I was just having the time of my life. So it was all good. So then randomly, this first friend who tried to set us up brought Jonathan to class.
Well, that's sneaky.
Totally sneaky. And it was like, after that moment, it was done. Like, it was love at first sight. We then started dating. Barry freaked out because he's like, that's exactly who I was going to set you up with. So it was really just like a meant to be.
Oh, like they didn't know.
No.
Oh.
No.
Well, that's ironic.
Really weird.
Yeah.
I think when you meet us both, though, separately, it's not hard to think like, oh, I feel like those two would be a great
team. That works.
Yeah.
And what does he do?
He owns restaurants.
Okay.
Yeah. It's called Greenleaf.
Okay,
it's cool. Definitely on brand because it's very healthy.
This is going to work for us because what you do is on brand for what I
exactly.
do.
This marriage can work.
This can be good. And you have two kids.
Yes.
What are their names?
Francesca, she's 2.5, and Jake is just over 1.
So you've got two little kids.
Very little.
How has it been being the CEO of this bustling brand and also keeping up with two pint-sized kiddos at home?
I think the best part about it has been when you have children. I was never good at balancing work and play. I just worked 20 hours a day. And now having a family, like I'm there every morning for the first, you know, 2 hours of their life. And I'm there every night for the last hour and a half. I do the bath time, the dinner, like every single day, breakfast, all of it. Mm-hmm. And so I have something that I have to turn off for the first time ever. So I think it's actually helped me in a way unplug when I need to.
Yeah.
Even though, to be totally honest with you, that stuff's way more stressful. It's enjoyable, but it's very stressful.
Yeah. I think a good follow-up to that is what kind of life do you hope that your kids live? Because I think in today's wellness world that we live in, like there are so many things that like so many people have so many opinions. So like you have an opinion on how you like to live your life. I'm sure your partner has an opinion on how he likes to execute wellness in his life. Obviously he eats super healthy. Mm-hmm. So what types of lessons do you hope to pass on to them about wellness and like how they, you know, develop as they get older?
So my daughter comes to Barry's every Saturday when I teach. She literally sees the chevron and goes, Barry's Boot Camp. I mean, she knows exactly. She's been indoctrinated. She's like going to be a customer in probably 3 years.
A little frightening at age like 5.
My nephew, who's 9, did a double like a few months ago. It's just crazy. But so wait, I think...
Just need to like focus on this for a second. So like, was there treadmilling or like, was it double floor?
Yeah, there was full treadmilling.
Oh, so like treadmill floor, treadmill floor, yeah. Treadmill floor, treadmill floor. Mm-hmm. Okay. Same page. I don't think like some adult humans could do
that. He's like an elite.
Okay.
Like, high school athlete. So yeah, he's not in high school. He's in junior high. So. So I think it is going to be virtually impossible for my son or my daughter to not have fitness and wellness in their lives, right? They're learning about it. It's their regular practice. For me, I grew up in an environment where it was really about happiness. So that's what I talk about with them, is I just want my kids to be happy. And part of my happiness has been like finding a career that I loved, right? So that if I could wish anything for my children, it's that they find a job and find work that they love.
I love that. I think that's really special, because that's a definite different take on wellness than a lot of people think of. I think a lot of people think wellness and they immediately think fitness and activity, but what we lose sight of is kind of like the mental health and happiness aspect. What are some ways that you give back to yourself from like, I guess, a self-care perspective? Like, what do you do for you?
Yeah. So I'm on the Well and Good, Council.
Yeah.
And just spoke about what you just said, like literally word for word, and talked about how like my biggest breakthrough last year was learning how important mental health is. And I don't mean like if you're suffering from disease, just in general, like everybody's own mental health.
Yeah.
And taking responsibility for it and doing things that can put you in a better headspace. I meditate every day. I do 5 to 10 minutes of meditation. And it is definitely something that it seemed really cliche to me. And until you have that, you know, power of a moment where you connect why the meditation can be so helpful for your everyday life, it probably won't resonate. But when you get there and you start practicing it, it really makes a difference.
When did you start doing that?
Just a few months ago.
And was there like a specific moment or occurrence that happened that triggered you to start meditating? Or were you like, everybody's doing this, I should probably get into it?
So we started working with an executive coach about 8 months ago, which has been life-changing. Mm-hmm. And every group meeting we have starts with a meditation. So all we really need to do was collectively understand like why that was so powerful. And when it would end, you know, when the 5 to 10 minutes was over, he would talk about like how it impacted each person and have everybody go around the room saying, you know, what they went through and what, and you just, it's a complete journey.
Yeah. Like, and when you say executive coach, you mean like for the people that work for Barry's corporate?
So for all of us on the executive team,
right,
we work one-on-one with this guy and we sit down and, you know, the whole first 4 to 6 weeks for me was literally like feet on the couch. What happened when you were 0 to 5 years old?
Yeah.
Mommy, daddy, you know, just like the whole thing.
Right.
Combination of like how to be an executive leader with like psychotherapy, basically. Yeah,
totally.
And so then he sort of approached each executive member individually, learn more about them as a personality, what makes them tick, what they've learned, you know, which hasn't helped them along the way, or what they've learned that has. And mm-hmm. It's really changed the dynamic around here. It's helped leadership practice what we call servant leadership, which is actually listening to the people that work for us and being of service to them. It's just been totally altering to the business.
What do you think has been one of the biggest lessons you've learned along the way that helps you be a more impactful leader for your team?
So one of the things we are asked to focus on is the difference between what's happening in reality and what's happening in our minds. And when you can make that distinction and call out behavioral patterns or things you might say or think before you actually say or think them, it's a game changer in terms of relationships and in terms of emotional intelligence and like being able to manage people, right? It's just, it's unbelievable. And then the second piece of that is what I said earlier, which is just like getting rid of fear.
Yeah.
Because he very much, our executive coach very much believes that fear, most of the bad things in the world are as a result of fear that we feel unrealistically as a result of like things that have happened to us earlier in life.
I think it's interesting. I was having a conversation with a girlfriend yesterday and I had intentionally, but shouldn't have, given someone time they didn't ask for. So it's like, you say, whether it's like an emotional situation, you have a friend or someone you want to do business with, and you are like, okay, like maybe in my head on Tuesday at 5, I'm going to be swinging by the Barry's office. Like maybe I can make it so me and Joey can have like 30 minutes. And it's like, you didn't even approach them about this time. You just in your head were like, I'm going to give you this 30 minutes.
Right.
And when it doesn't work out, you're mad at yourself for giving someone something they didn't ask for.
Yeah.
And that's been something that I've been working on as an entrepreneur. It's like, do smart things with the time that you have with the people that you care about and make it effective and impactful. And I think that's really smart what you're saying, backing away from the fear as your motivator. Yeah. It's like, I'm worried if I don't make this 30 minutes or if I don't check all these boxes or if I don't do this, then this will happen. But what do you do when you're like, okay, I am capable of XYZ.
Yeah.
Like, this is what I can control. Like focus on that.
And every example you come up with is like something that we have learned about with Martin, where like for that, for example, for what, the story you just told, is all about clear communication,
yeah, right?
And that could have been resolved so easily with clear and direct but respectful communication,
yeah,
right? And then there are other things we've learned to articulate, which is like we'll be sitting in a meeting and we'll be able to turn to one another and be like, that just really triggered me. So give me a second, right? Or like, I'm getting hijacked. So there's like this vocabulary now that we all share here, which like really takes all of those really tense, awful moments out of the office,
yeah,
and you can actually be really candid about what you're feeling and you can express it or articulate it like clearly, directly, with respect. And it's really productive.
Instead of just being like super passive aggressive unintentionally. Like it's not like you want to hurt anybody's feelings. It's just like, this makes me feel some kind of way.
Yeah.
And I need to work past this.
Yeah. Or I'm protecting myself. So right. I'm getting mad at you. You know, it's right. I bet
this helps you at home too.
Yeah.
Do you guys communicate differently now that you've been working with an executive coach?
It's a work in progress.
You're like, we need another coach for the home and another coach in the office.
I do my best.
Quick break from today's episode to give the sponsor, Athletic Greens, a little bit of love. Let's be real. Living in New York City is super hectic. I feel like from the moment I open my eyes in the morning, all I know is go, which is why rituals are pretty important to my sanity. Next to my morning coffee, Athletic Greens has become a staple part of my morning routine. And I think a lot of women are hesitant to reach for supplements because it feels, I don't know, like a guy thing. But let me tell you, this is the kind of thing that you've got to get on board with. Trust me. Not only does it taste great, it's super simple to make, just pouring the powder in 10 to 12 ounces of water. And it's like insurance for your body with all of the essential vitamins and minerals, digestive enzymes, prebiotics, probiotics, adaptogens, superfoods. It's got it all. Athletic Greens has got my back. They're offering a special deal for Hurdle listeners for 20 free travel packs, a $99 value with your first purchase. Just go to athleticgreens.com/hurdle to claim it. No code necessary. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/hurdle. Let's get back to it. I'm back here sitting with Joey Gonzalez. He is the CEO of Barry's Bootcamp. What do you think about when you think about five-year goals for Barry's? Because I think it's really special that you're talking about how important your people are and like investing in your people. And that's a really good business goal. What else do you see in the next 5 years for the company?
I think, so I sort of see different goals. There are different ways to look. We're hoping to get to 50 US domestic studios by 2022, and we're about halfway there. Well, so that's the enterprise goal. Then there's the personal goal, which is as we expand, the most important thing to me is maintaining culture, because Barry's has always been, it's so much more than a dollar value or a business that I wanted to scale. It's like a family. You know, we wear shirts that on the back say family at work. And it is a very real thing. We did a survey across the organization to ask during our values project, what makes Barry special to you? And one of the most common denominators was people feeling like they could be themselves here, people feeling wholly accepted by, you know, not only the internal family, but also the external community. And so being able to maintain that for me is a, you know, top of the mind goal, because I think it's one of the things that differentiates Barry's from a lot of other places.
Mm-hmm. In 2017, you told Forbes, our community is a huge driver for bringing in new customers. Our clients become brand evangelists and want to share their experience with their own networks. Even celebrities willingly share by word of mouth and on social media. I think this brings to life something that we haven't quite touched on yet, which is this concept of social media and the growth of your brand and your instructors via social media. As such a big company, do you have like a certain lens or a certain way that you try to talk about the brand when it comes to these different platforms?
Yes, definitely. Social media is like the new advertising, right? Because it's organic and it's real and people listen. And obviously I'm talking about organic and not paid. And so we definitely make an effort to educate our instructors and other employees on like how on best practices, how to represent Barry's and stay on brand. But what I think is really interesting about what you brought up is that back in, you know, 2003, when I started at Barry's, there was no social media. We used to collect people's email addresses, and as instructors, we would email them our schedules. People, when they came to class, would sign up with a pen or pencil, like on a little, you know, board. And it just was like a totally different reality where the business grew from word of mouth.
Yeah.
And what I was able to see happen there is that like the I think people's frequency is always higher when they go there with a friend and have a personal connection to it. And as a result, even now that we have a very sophisticated marketing department, our new client acquisition campaigns are almost always backed up by getting support from our current customer base. And so you'll see we'll launch like Friends with Benefits.
I did that this year.
You did? See? I did. And it's fun. Like our customers love it. They get a class, their friend gets a class, but it creates what it is that makes Barry special, which is like, let's talk about how hard that was, or, oh my gosh, I never sweat that much. And then you text each other in 2 days and you come back, right? Because for us, it's always about getting frequency and repeat customers. And so we invest way more into those types of campaigns today, even than in, you know, new client acquisition paid digital campaigns.
Right. As Barry's grows bigger, how is it that you hone in on this sense of community despite being bigger and bigger and bigger?
Mm-hmm. One of the things we pay most attention to is local nuance. Mm. And that is something I'm really sensitive to, because as the fourth partner who used to travel around to new cities and communicate back to the mothership, like what that city needed, it was always like very helpful for me to have their support and never hear like, well, no, this is how we do things. And that, so we would always pivot and flex depending on where we were and what the community needed. And so as a CEO, as we've expanded and entered so many new US cities, it's really been a priority for me to continue that communication with our boots on the ground. And we have a whole community marketing team that they would liaise essentially between marketing and all the managers. They are in studios. They are delivering not only what we're doing, but why we're doing it. And it works both ways, right? So they're going to Dallas and they're talking about this, you know, new client acquisition campaign. And then they're getting feedback about how that sounds great, but what would really work here is ABC, right? And they're bringing it back to us and helping us learn about what works in their community. And then we have a new department that we've just invested into called client experience, which is wholly devoted to like making sure everybody feels special, making sure disgruntled customers are answered almost immediately, making sure if it's your, you know, if you're pregnant and you're a customer that comes a lot and we know you, that there's, you know, a pair of baby shoes with Barry's chevron waiting for you at the front desk. It's just surprise and delight and making sure our customers feel special.
I love that term, surprise and delay.
Yeah.
I feel like there should be more surprise and delight like in the regular human experience.
I know.
I would love that. I would love it also if for just a minute you could put on your trainer hat. I come to you and I tell you, man, I'm having like a really hard time getting motivated. Like I know I could lose a few pounds. Like I'm feeling just like a little lackluster lately. Like what should I do, Joey? What do you tell me?
For me, the accountability is always what I've seen be the difference between success and failure.
Yeah.
And so making sure somebody has someone to lean on. So if you're my friend and you say that, I say, I'm not going to let you fail. Like, let's do this together on Monday. Or you text me what you ate and when you worked out on Monday. And if you didn't, we're going to have a conversation about why you didn't. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so totally.
Really getting people to take accountability to make the commitment and then to have to explain why they didn't.
Yeah. You have the opportunity to gift someone you care about a book. What book do you gift them? Start with why.
Yeah.
Joey just pointed at his desk for everyone that's sitting at home listening to this. Did you just get that book?
No, as you can see, it's been read and reread a few times.
Oh, I didn't. It has
notes and stuff, but I've definitely like passed it on.
What is so special about this book? By Simon Sinek. Did I say that wrong?
No, that's right.
Okay.
It helps explain why some organizations have stood the test of time and why the most important thing to do isn't try to sell a product, but to try to figure out why you're offering it in the first place, which is way harder than you'd think.
Yeah. Why do you think you're offering your product?
So, I mean, the vision for Barry's has always been to transform lives. And that vision started in West Hollywood and has now become a worldwide vision. And we do that through so many different ways. It's obviously physical. A lot of people see results within like 3 or 4 weeks at Barry's where they just can't even believe. People who are already fit are saying, I have a six pack for the first time. They just can't believe the results, right? But on the flip side, we have people who have like totally like emotional, spiritual, like they are going through a hard time in life. They're suffering from cancer or they're going through a divorce and all of a sudden they like find this workout that challenges their mind, this community that supports and loves them. And so the way that we transform lives is totally case by case dependent, but it is an absolute and it's something that, you know, is seen in every person that comes.
Yeah. When you think about your extensive journey with Barry's, aside from, you know, meeting your partner, what do you think is one of the most beautiful ways that this business has transformed your life? Ooh, the eyes widened. It was like a deep breath situation.
I mean, taking it back to the beginning, just learning again, after being broken down, that I'm capable of so much, building my self-confidence up again, facing myself, continually facing myself, looking at myself in the mirror and not necessarily only thinking about, can I get to 12.5 for my sprint, but also thinking about like what happened today and ways that I reacted, ways that I could have been better. Barry's challenges me on all of those levels. And every time I'm in that red room, it is just a cathartic experience where I'm evaluating my life and myself and trying to figure out, you know, how I'm doing.
Yeah. Aside from that piece of advice to like reach out to someone for accountability, someone who doesn't have the opportunity to visit a Barry's themselves, maybe living in one of those, you know, more rural areas, what is a piece of advice you would give to them when maybe they come to terms with this idea that they do need to face themselves, that they do need to show up? How does someone start when they haven't really been able to do that before?
It's so easy now. I mean, I told you back in the day, I used to have to buy a magazine and bring it with me.
Yeah.
Right? Now there are apps, there is YouTube, there's so many resources. I think the most important thing is finding something that you enjoy, because if you don't enjoy it, you're not going to repeat it.
Yeah.
And that's what really counts.
What do you think has been one of the best pieces of advice that you've been given in your career?
You have to trust the people you hired to do their jobs.
I love that. You're like, mic drop, we're done. You can walk. Why that one?
You know, it came at the perfect time. I had just moved to New York. It was actually my roommate, Nicole, who I was living with. Her father is a famous entrepreneur. And she said to me one day, you know, the best piece of advice my dad said he ever got was that phrase right there. And it changed, you know, his trajectory. And it just landed on me. And I thought, God, that is so true. I had come from an environment like in LA where I was so immersed in the day-to-day that I was probably micromanaging and doing things that I could have done better. And from that moment on, I really made an effort to just trust the people I hire.
When you think about your leadership style as a CEO, how would you describe that?
My leadership style as a CEO. It's hard because I don't know if the way you think of yourself is what others think.
I mean, I'm asking you how but you I would think
imagine,
of yourself.
I would imagine out of the box, casual, innovative, disciplined.
My concluding question to you, sir. If you have a piece of advice that you would offer to the Joey who's walking in to Barry's for the first time, you know, at that point in his life where he's at this pivotal crossroads, what is it that you say to him looking back on it now?
So it's actually something that we say to customers a lot. It's like a scripted Barry's thing, which is don't be a hero. And those are really important first words, I think, because most people like me, it took me a year and a half to go to Barry's, are scared. Can I swear? Bleepless. And so they walk into this studio and, you know, it's very comforting to just hear from a friendly face, like, don't be a hero, just do your best.
Yeah.
And that, I think that would have helped me a lot because I was scared walking in. I was scared during, and I was a little bit scared after when it was done.
Yeah.
And as I said earlier, I think fear is a real powerful thing. So being able to disarm people immediately with that, I think is a good thing.
Awesome. Joey, thanks so much for sitting down with me today in our beautiful little place here in West Hollywood. Is that where we are?
Sure.
Says the New Yorker who can't find her way around Los Angeles. Please take a moment to leave a quick review by clicking the link with the description to this episode. We all face multiple hurdles in life. I want to hear about yours. Reach out to me at emily@hurdle.us. Connect with the podcast on Instagram and Twitter @hurdlepodcast. Joey, where do they find you? Where do they find Barry's? Give me all the social rundown, the website rundown, and maybe even some scheduling tips.
Our website's barrysbootcamp.com. Mm-hmm. Our Instagram handle is barrysbootcamp. Mm-hmm. And my Instagram handle is Joey Gonzalez.
And where do you teach, Joe?
I teach in Venice, Saturday mornings, 8:30 a.m.
I heard it's great.
Oh, good.
My girlfriend.
Old man still got it.
My girlfriend that just dropped me off here told me she goes every Saturday.
Wait, really?
Yeah, her name's Alyssa Kluge.
Oh, I love that. Tell her to say hi.
I will. Cool. Awesome. I am at Emily Abadi. I'm excited to keep learning and growing with you guys. Another hurdle conquered. Catch you guys next time.